Look, Noel Jordan, stay with us. Frank McBrearty Jr. is here as well. What a guest to have. Why didn't you run?
I'm past that stage of my life. It's a hard world, national politics. I ran on a by-election, two general elections, and I tell you, it's not easy. And I would know how some of the candidates feel here today, but I think Donegal, you can basically pick what's going to be the outcome here. You're going to have two Sinn Féin for definite. But the last three seats, in my opinion, from my experience in politics, they're up for grabs. The number twos, the number threes, and possibly number fours and even number fives are going to be vital in the count after people start getting eliminated. And it's all down to who's the most transfer friendly. Now, my opinion is Thomas Pringle and Charlie Ward are going to be two of the most transfer friendly in this race. And I would like to think that Charles Ward will be able to pick up a seat for all those who are affected by defective concrete from those transfers. But it's too close to call at the minute until we actually see the distribution of Piers Doherty's surplus vote and where they go, the percentage of them. Now, you would presume with the Sinn Féin strategy will be one, two, and three. So at least 60% of those surplus are going to go to the Sinn Féin candidates. And we all know that Patrick is going to probably get elected from those surplus. So the interesting thing then is going to be then who goes out first and where do those transfers go? And then a higher.
Excuse me. You're not making any predictions.
No, I'm not making any predictions. It's too early to make predictions at the minute. I mean, I would ask the question, where's Charlie McConnell going to get the number twos and number threes? But I haven't seen them because I wasn't here earlier. But that's the big question. Twos, threes, and fours, maybe fives, where are they going to go? Because, what do you call it? Once Patrick McLaughlin's over the line, the surplus vote goes out of the equation, and it all becomes the transferable votes that elect the next candidates.
And you've been big into the defective concrete issue. Do you think in reality, like I was making this point to several of the guests, including Piers Doherty, including Charlie Ward. Do you think a lot of people who would have maybe given 100% support to Charles Ward have given their number one to Sinn Féin? Because Sinn Féin came out with a very clear message saying, listen, we will give 100% redress. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
And they thought, well, you've got a better chance of being in government, do you know?
time will only tell. I see, my looking at this, why did Sinn Féin only run 72 candidates if they were serious about getting into government? Because they would need to run far more candidates.
Well, let's ask Sinn Féin. But Noel Jordan,
we ran enough candidates, Frank, to lead the next government.
No, but that's what he got. You should be looking for a majority-led government
no,
if they're serious about getting into government.
But none of the parties ran enough.
What do you call it? That's the question. I mean, if I was a strategist here today, I'd be asking why Sinn Féin, who's one of the three big parties, have ran less candidates than Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Fianna Fáil ran 82 candidates and Fine Gael ran 80 candidates.
Why is it?
But 70, you think about this. If you were in the position to one, which no party will be in the position to do this, but to run even 55 seats, like we're running 71 candidates and we're running in areas that, as I say, we've added to our candidates from the last time. And we made that mistake, of course. We didn't see that bounce coming to us in 2020. And if we had, if we would have been leading the government. But that's the reason we went out. We have the ambition. We had the policies to lead the next government, and we're still in a position that will be the most popular party, and we'll
Yeah,
probably
but
get the
being the
most votes.
most, but Noel, being the
But
most
lead,
popular,
yeah.
being the most popular party, like that's one thing, okay. But as you saw the exit polls that came out last night at 10 o'clock, what pathway can you describe the pathway that you can see Sinn Féin forming the next government?
But you know, it's your own. Look, there's a lot of seats yet to be filled,
No,
as I say,
yeah.
and look at.
But based, let's just pretend for a second, because those exit polls are apparently very accurate. Based on that, I don't know, we don't want to speculate too much, but based on that exit poll, what path can you see for Sinn Féin to form a government?
Well, we've been looking at progressive parties and parties to the left. And as I say, it's all about winning the majority of seats to put you in that position to do so. And it's something that we haven't given up on yet. Our nationwide, there's a lot of seats up there for grabs yet. And rightly so, with Frank saying there, transfers, there's a lot of transfers to be distributed throughout the country, not alone throughout this county, and to decide what seats is left here. And we're hoping to pick up additional seats from the 2020 election.
And you're being very diplomatic.
No, I'm not a diplomat.
No, but no,
can I just make a point? Right, I'm a former member of the Labour Party, and people say they're the left party, but they've been in government with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, right? So this left and right and centre left and centre right, I can't get my head around that, because the voting that people are doing is not centre left, centre right, right or left or the middle or whatever. I have no doubt that Labour will be talking to both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, the Social Democrats. So really, are they left parties or not, as Sinn Féin are describing? Because I don't see it personally at a national level. What they want is power, and they'll go into power whoever will give them the best deal, whether that's Sinn Féin, whether it's Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. And if you go on the polls and you go on the commentary nationally at the minute, it's very much looking like a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael government with either 76 seats or 80 seats. They're saying between 76 and 80 Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are going to have. So they're going to have to go to one of the smaller parties or some of the independents to make up the majority for the Dáil to last for the next 5 years. And that'll be a big question, whether it will last for 5 years or not. But what I'm saying to you is these parties really as left as people saying they are? I don't believe they are.
Do you? Will you have sympathy now? It could be a disappointing day for the incumbent minister, outgoing TD Donegal T, Charlie McConnellogue. Would you have, as somebody who's lost elections in the past, would you have sympathy for his position if he loses a seat?
Well, so he hasn't lost his seat yet.
Yeah, but if he does?
Well, personally, from a personal point of view, I'd have no sympathy with Charlie McConnellogue, because he has not delivered for everyone who is affected by defective concrete. And it's not Mica. Let's make this clear.
Well, I was very careful to call it defective concrete when I saw you coming.
Bloody called. I've let everybody know in the media as they came in. Stop calling it Mica, because Mica is not the cause of the structural defects.
Yeah.
But I'm very confident in the year ahead, there's going to be a lot of things happening in the courts concerning the issues of defective concrete that has been kind of stagnated because of legal issues. As a main field, what we're having to deal with legally at the minute with barristers, and what approach we're going to be taking against the government with judicial reviews and high court cases in the future for us who are affected by defective concrete. And it's not Mica. And county councillors need to stop and ensure and tell the council to stop calling this Mica freestyle, because Mica cannot do what they have said it does.
Yeah, I understand. And Noel Jordan,
you were in my father's house.
I was. You've seen I was.
You've done a great podcast on it. And
thanks very much.
What do you call it? And
he was a great talker as well.
He's natural. He tells it as he speaks from the heart, my father.
Yeah.
So
he's the only one I ever saw.
But I wouldn't. I actually feel sorry for some of the candidates, because all of them, whether you love them or hate them, they're out in the doors. They're
you
canvassing.
Have to give them credit.
And they're
for
knocking
that.
On
you
the
really
doors.
Do.
And I tell you, it's a hard job going to people's doors. Yeah. You're going to meet people that don't like you. You're going to meet people that like you. There are going to be people that are not going to tell you they don't like you. It's not an easy job canvassing. But I'll have to say this. The government had played a blinder. Having a general election at this time of the year, people don't want to see you coming to their door after 6 o'clock at night.
What do you think? What do you mean they played the blinder?
This,
in their favor?
This election should have been held in the summertime, where people could come out to vote and you could see your candidates at the door. You could have a conversation with them. So, I mean, dark at 4:30.
Yeah.
And the people coming in from their work and their dinner on the table, they don't want to see canvassers coming to the door.
If you don't make it this time, Noel, will you run again, do you think? Or, you're still on the council, but...
Yeah, listen...
Has it given you a taste for it?
It has given me the taste, believe it or not. I didn't think that the first week was out. And I do agree with Frank that... that it's run at a bad time of year, November, of course. And the first week, I said about this, the first week of the campaign, when this was announced and we were on the doors, people were saying, oh, Jesus, this is the start of it now for the next 3 weeks, you know. But it was only the last 10 days that people started to engage with everybody on the door. It is the wrong time of the year, of course. And I think they didn't call it deliberately and they stalled it. It was the worst kept secret because we all knew it was going to be on the 29th of November.
You're based in Mount Charlotte, yeah. But you'd be going scouting the whole area looking for votes. And like, you know, when that national exit poll came out yesterday, it said it was all about housing. That was the key issue. What were you finding on the doorsteps?
Well, look, as I said, in the last 10 days, that people wanted change. That's what they wanted. And I know that that's what they wanted. They said, we want to change this government because they were sick of it. Housing is the number one issue in Donegal, without a doubt. And the defective block is up there with that. And you have then the cost of living. The cost of living was a big one. And they wanted something different. They wanted something that would ease that pain of the cost of living. And we were going to provide that for the, we're going to provide that for the, that's the change we were talking about. And, people were like what we're saying. And, we're still in play here for three seats here yet. We're still well in play.
Frank McBurney.
I don't really agree with that. No.
You know,
the vote doesn't reflect that. The people are, it looks like they want another Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Loughwood. But I mean, the voting patterns in the last 20 years, I'm almost 20 years in politics. Somebody votes for Piers Doherty, number one. They vote Pat the Cope, number two. The voting has changed everywhere. But I mean, go back to the initial voting in Donegal, people would have voted Fianna Fáil, number one, number two, number three.
Yeah.
Sinn Féin would have voted number one, number two, number three. I mean, that has all changed. And you'll see it when these number twos and threes start coming out. People are not traditionally voting the one, two, three the way they did years ago. So, I mean, we all know there's a housing crisis. We all know there's a cost of living crisis, but their float doesn't reflect it.
I know, yeah. Well, but go ahead and all that behind.
There's a few factors here. I do believe a lot of people didn't come out to vote.
Well, and we've seen the drop.
That's the big problem. That's the big problem here. A lot of people didn't come out to vote.
Okay, listen.
People should come out to vote.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely. Noel Jordan of Sinn Féin and Frank McBurney Jr.
Best of luck, Noel D.
Thank you so much for joining us here. And you're listening to Ocean FM.